Good morning. Welcome to our morning worship service. If you're visiting with us, you're very welcome. And if you would like to know more information about our church, please speak to any of the stewards or myself at the end of the service. The Reverend Chris Wilson is on annual leave until tomorrow. In the meantime, if you need the services of a minister, contact the Reverend Robert Bell, and any of the elders will be able to help you do that. During October, we've had updates on a number of organisations and missions that we support. We look forward today to hearing from those involved in Antrim CAP Centre, and they will be taking all of the service today. Then on Tuesday, the 4th of November, there will be a safeguarding training event here in the church at 7:30 p.m. Anyone who works with children in our church organisations needs to take this training every 3 years. If you would like more information on this, then please speak to Francis Craig. This week, all the home groups will meet for a fellowship evening on Thursday at 7:15 p.m. If you haven't been to a home group before, you will be made most welcome. Then it is with sadness that I announce the death of a member of this congregation, Mrs. Margaret McKee, formerly of Brentwood Gardens. Her funeral took place on Friday past. We extend our condolences to the family and assure them of our thoughts and prayers at this sad time. Our first item of praise this morning is Praise Arising. And if we stand to sing, and then I will hand over to Irene after that. So Praise is Rising.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank Chris Wilson for inviting us to be able to take part in your service today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we are able to gather to praise you this morning. We praise you for the gifts of words, the words we hear and read. Create in us a hunger for your word, a thankfulness for your gospel, and a faithfulness to your commands. Forgive us, Lord, when we build new worlds which are dependent on us and not on you. Forgive us when we fail to recognize the depths of our own self-seeking and leave you out of our lives. Forgive us, Lord, and give us honest, humble, and penitent hearts. Stay beside us to defend us, within us to guide us, before us to lead us, behind us to guard us, and above us to bless us. So, Lord, be with us in our worship today, as we seek to bring glory to you and you alone. We pray these things through the precious name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now Billy Sherrod, a very good befriender to CAP, is coming to read.
Our scripture reading this morning can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. John 13, 1 to 17. This is God's word. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Amen.
Boys and girls, would you like to come up? Hello. I just sit where you normally sit with Chris. Morning, boys and girls. Oh, hang on a wee minute. David, where's David? David, I've got that money for you, for the watch. Okay. So I think we agreed £5, was it?
Yeah.
Right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Not enough.
That's no good. That's not real money.
Of course it is. It came out of my purse there.
No, but you wouldn't get a watch for that.
What do you want more? There's £7.
But that's no good.
Why?
It's not real money.
But sure, come out of my purse. It must be real money.
I couldn't take that to a shop to buy anything.
What am I going to do with it?
Maybe eat it.
Eat it? Oh, maybe we could do that. Have you ever had chocolate money, boys and girls? I've got some for you later. Thank you. Oh, that's all right, David. I'll have to do my own watch then. Well, boys and girls, have you ever had chocolate money? And do you like it?
Yeah.
What do you like about it? Do you think it makes you rich, pretend money?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah? And when do you get it? Do you get it special occasions?
At Christmas.
In your stocking? Yes. Well, you know, it's just chocolate money. I never eat it. There's nothing left, so there's not. What's left? Just the gold wrapper, and it's not worth very much. Sure, it's not. But it looks, feels like treasure, doesn't it? It's like a wee treasure trove. Oh, rich, rich. Now, we've got a wee verse today that's going to come up on the screen. And it says in the Bible, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, there's what's called earthly treasure. What on earth would that be when I talk about it? What's earthly treasure? What would you call treasure at home?
Earth.
Earth? Right, okay. What about at home, in your own home? What would be an earthly treasure? What would you have in your home that's been bought? Sorry? Uh-huh, precious to you. What things would be precious to you? Money. And what else?
Your phone.
Your phone, your iPhone, uh-huh. Anything else would be precious to you? What else is precious in your house? What about your mommy and daddy? What would be precious to them? What would they be buying that's precious to them? Yes, indeed, yes, but they don't buy you, you're born to them, don't you? What would they spend money on? It would be precious.
What they buy for you?
Yeah, uh-huh. What would they buy? It's really precious.
The house.
Big house, yes. And what else? And a big car. And what else? Anything else? Have loads of money and treat you to big holidays and all. But that's unfortunately just earthly treasure, because whenever we go to heaven, you can't take your big car or your big house with you. Sure you can't. So what does God mean when he talks about treasure in heaven? What should we be doing on earth so we can get to heaven? Should we be looking and behaving like God? And what way should we be behaving? Should we love other people, even sometimes maybe don't like them particularly well? Should we? And do you know anybody that's really good in church like that? Who is? What were they like? Do they care for you and look after you? So if you want to build up your riches, we have to build up our riches in God and do as God asks us to do. And what does God ask us to do? What sort of things does God ask us to do? That's correct, yes, very good. The Ten Commandments, yes. You're going to say the same thing? And what else? What about saying our prayers? And who do we pray for? Pardon?
Reading the Bible.
And reading the Bible, that's right.
And pray for Jesus.
And pray for Jesus, and you pray for your friends and all, don't you? So remember that.
And your teacher.
And your teachers, yes, as well. Who's the teacher you're looking around at, eh? Yes. So remember the treasure that Jesus wants you to have is the treasure that you love other people, that you're rich in helping people and loving Jesus. Okay? So, can we have our little song now, which is going to be My Lighthouse? Okay. Paul Livingstone, who is CAP, the Partnership Development Manager for Northern Ireland, to speak to us.
Thank you. Thanks, Arian. And thanks, everyone, for the warm welcome this morning and for the invite to be here. I'm just wondering, did Arian actually give away those chocolate coins? Or She's had the same bag since 2023 or something, I think. No, that's unfair. I'm going to introduce myself in a wee minute, but first we're just going to watch a short video just to tell you something more about the work of CAP here in Northern Ireland. Blame me for the technology, folks. I am
feeling like you're constantly struggling to get your head above water, like you're being thrown around by the sea and maybe even battered against the rocks, a longing for a calm in the storm. Allow me to share a bit of my journey with and out of debt. Being in debt and financial difficulties can be hard to describe, but maybe the best way to describe it would be to say that it is overwhelming or all-consuming. My circumstances at the time led to financial instability, making it practically impossible to budget. Life before working with CAP was exhausting. You're constantly having to put a brave face on things, especially around my children. It was tough just managing day to day, trying to juggle the household finances with all the other responsibilities that work and family life brings, and absolutely dreading the next bill or unexpected expense. It was a never-ending cycle of robbing Peter to pay Paul. It is draining. I felt somewhat trapped and at times hopeless. It was getting harder and harder to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Thankfully, I found out that I didn't have to deal with this all on my own. Help was available. I could get that help without being judged or being made to feel like it was my fault.
Debt doesn't pick and choose. It can be anyone. Anyone can struggle with debt.
Walking up to a door for a first visit, you don't know what to expect. Unmanageable debt doesn't always look like unemployment or frequent visits to the food store. Those most in need often keep silent about it, but the reality is something very different.
Living with debt is tough. It not only impacts on our finances, it impacts our health, our well-being, our families and relationships, and it can affect any one of us. But there is hope. We at Christians Against Poverty work with churches across Northern Ireland to deliver help to people who are struggling with debt. Since we commenced work in Northern Ireland in 2009, we've helped thousands of people, seeing hundreds go debt-free in that time. And it's not all about figures. We look beyond someone's debt and see the whole person for who they are, and in many cases, their families. Through our network of local centres, we offer in-depth debt help, which is unique in many aspects. Many of our clients who contact Christians Against Poverty have been trying to manage things themselves, some as long as 3 years. So from the outset, many feel a massive sense of relief, like a burden has been lifted off their shoulders. People feel for the first time in a long time that they are not on their own. A new client is assigned to a local debt coach who will arrange to see them normally in their home. And our expert staff at head office engage and negotiate with creditors, meaning the client no longer has to do this. While we're working out the best route out of debt, we support our clients proactively, offering support and encouragement as well as practical help. We stay with them for as long as it takes, seeing them through the often tricky journey out of debt. While our debt advice service aims to resolve the immediate financial situation, we also equip people to deal better with their finances and life with our money coaching financial education course and clubs to help people back into employment, live on a budget, and live healthier lives.
That help eventually saw me clear of debt, and now I'm able to help others.
Debt affects families and individuals, all of us. It can happen to anyone.
Have you ever used a credit card to pay for your holidays? Or do you have a mortgage? Or maybe you use buy now, pay later. That is debt.
Not all debt is bad. It's when it becomes unmanageable that problems arise.
And we can't tell by looking at someone whether they're struggling or not. It could be anyone. They could look like me, or they could look like Mags here beside me.
So that person sitting right next to you, who you know oh so well, they could be in debt. They could need help from CAP.
Contact us on 0800 328 0006.
Folks, can I just say, we really appreciate CAP only works with local churches, and it only works when local churches like yours partner with us. So we know you've been part of the Antrim Debt Centre for a number of years, so thank you. A lot of you will know the story of CAP and how we work, but hopefully that video will just give you a different or slightly different insight into that. As Arian has said, I'm Paul Livingstone. I'm Partnership Development Manager for CAP here. That role basically means that I engage with churches as we look to expand our network across Northern Ireland with their different services. And I also then work with local government, government departments, MLAs and people like that, and other charities, just to see if there are areas where we can work together to promote the work, our work, and just to promote the causes that we want to highlight on behalf of our clients. So thanks again for having me. We're going to have a bit of a talk this morning from John's Gospel, and a couple of stories, encounters that Jesus had, including the one that Billy read, and thank you for that. But we are going to start with another short video. There is a trigger, a bit of a warning that this does mention suicidal thoughts. So if there are any issues that come as a result of that, would you please speak to someone in church afterwards? But it's just to highlight that. But we'll listen to this short video and then I'll get into the talk.
Christians Against Poverty, Tanya speaking, how can I help?
I wanted to make an appointment to speak to somebody about my debt.
Okay. What's your first name and surname?
It's Paul. It's me and my wife, Heather.
Lovely.
I was aware of Christians Against Poverty. I picked up your leaflet when I went to give blood at the Baptist.
Thank you for that.
I am going through a mental health crisis at the minute. Okay. It's all sent me over the edge. I'm under watch for suicide watch at the minute. There was an attempt last Wednesday. I didn't go through with it.
Is there anything for Heather that we should be made aware of?
She just had an operation for cancer.
What I need you to do now is just give me an overview of what your debts are.
Okay. We were managing up until Christmas, really, and then we just started to have no money left in our account when direct debits were going out, so we haven't paid electric or gas since Christmas. I've got a attachment of earnings order, which takes a third of my wages away, and that happened on Wednesday, which tipped me over the edge.
What's that for?
Council tax.
Okay.
So, yeah, there's council tax that we haven't been able to pay either.
Okay.
The rent is the one thing that we've made sure that we paid, so that I wanted to make sure that we still had a roof over the head, and then anything else doesn't matter as long as we've got a roof over our heads.
So, nearest available appointment is the 7th of June. So, you booked in with a lovely lady called Helen.
Right? Yeah.
She will gather your paperwork. We're going to help you to budget, work your payments out for your creditors, go through the options available, and just advise on what we feel is best based on your personal circumstance. All right?
Right. Okay.
And that's it. All done.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
No worries. Thanks for your call today, Paul. And we look
All
forward
right.
to working with you. Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
Now, obviously, that was a call. That was a real-life call, but it's a call from an English client, so there will be some issues that don't apply here, but a lot of the issues that are raised by Paul and the things he was facing do come up, and we see them. So we'll come back to those later in the talk. But this morning, I want to look at a couple of encounters that Jesus has had. There are a number of examples in the Gospels of Jesus having close encounters with people, and they're probably some of the stories that we know if we've maybe grown up in Sunday school or BB or GB. You know a lot of these stories very well. The woman at the well, the blind man, Zacchaeus, the tax collector up the tree. These encounters were very personal and face-to-face. And they revealed to us Christ's gift of discernment. He saw and understood the deepest needs of the people he met, and then he willingly and lovingly met those needs. He treated people with respect and dignity, especially those who weren't maybe used to receiving that. He was kind, and in every case, he made God's love real. Jesus saw the person's potential, not just their current situation. And the outcome of these encounters then was transformation. God's love in Jesus brought hope and healing. God's love in Jesus brought purpose and perspective, and God's love gave people hope and release to potential for the future. And transformation is at the heart of what CAP, working in partnership with the local church, have been doing for almost 30 years. It's actually 30 years next year, 16 here in Northern Ireland. Transformation for those we serve, people who find themselves living with the reality of poverty and debt. We are there for the 2.8 million people in the UK who have to borrow money just to pay their household bills. 1 in 10 adults who lose sleep every week because of their finances, or almost 1 in 5 adults who skip meals every month because they can't afford enough food. And you might think, well, yeah, well, that's the UK, but what does that look like here? We issue a client report each year, and this year we really drill down into some of the sort of local statistics for here in Northern Ireland. So for new CAP clients last year in 2024, almost 3 in 5 had to borrow to pay for food, clothing or other essentials. Paul alluded to or mentioned gas and electric in the call. 42% of new clients here were borrowing to pay gas and electric, and over half then were borrowing to pay for things like birthdays and Christmas. People go without. We hear of people going without meals. One of the striking statistics is while about 2 in 5 go without food at some stage, that figure rises to over 60% when it comes to healthy food. So yes, maybe people are getting enough food, but is it nutritional or good for them? And then that feeds into their well-being. They become isolated, cut off from others, afraid to leave the house, losing sleep, and then ultimately can lead to suicidal thoughts, as we heard in that video. So poverty has an impact on every aspect of people's lives. And there's a quote here that I have that really sort of highlights that. Debt destroys everything, your relationships, your mental health, your confidence. It creeps up and devastates your life. Poverty steals hope and dignity from those who are most vulnerable every day. But there is a but. It doesn't have the final word, because God is working through his church to bring transformation. This transformation, like the encounters of Jesus that we'll talk about, comes in the form of a face-to-face encounter. CAP partners with churches like yours, who are inspired by the example of Jesus to serve in our communities. And in doing so, we provide expert financial advice, emotional, practical and spiritual support for as long as it takes, and an invitation to the warmth and love of a church community. Last year in CAP, 3 churches partnering with CAP, that meant 248 first visits, 149 new cases activated, 87 people going debt-free, and that's not to mention the countless cups of tea, coffee, kind words, prayers, love and compassion, which are shown every day. So we're going to spend a bit of time talking about a couple of close encounters that Jesus had with people who needed him. And we know through the work that we are doing and the stories that we hear that God is continuing to transform the lives of people in need. As we reflect on these stories, it's also a good time to remind ourselves that this same transforming love is there for us when we find ourselves maybe trapped by the experiences of the past, the pain of the present, or a fear of the future. From the most wealthy and privileged to those of very little money who feel rejected, despised, and isolated, Jesus made space for face-to-face encounters with everyone, and that includes you and me. So the first encounter we're going to look at is recounted in John, again, John 5, verses 2 to 8. It's the lame man, so I'll just read those verses. Inside the city near the sheep gate was the pool of Bethesda with 5 covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me in the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone always gets there ahead of me." Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat and walk." Jesus makes time and space to listen to the man's story and to understand his situation. He hears the man's sadness, maybe even a bit of self-pity, how defeated the man may have felt, and how he blames others for his pain. This man's challenges went deeper than just not being able to walk. He would have faced social poverty and isolation because he had no one to put him in the pool for healing. And he was experiencing poverty in every way, spiritually, socially, personally, and materially. But we notice how Jesus listens to him and doesn't judge. He's curious and asks questions like, "Do you want to be healed?" He has empathy and compassion to understand how the man has been ground down by his situation as person after person walks by without offering help or even a kind word. He meets the man where he is, and he releases him from the limitations of the past, the pain of the present, and restores him to a deeper hope for the future. Like the life of this man, living a life of debt has many more implications than just financial ones, as we've heard from some of those stats and also the video. Cat Plants report being afraid to leave the house, afraid of the knock at the door, and there's a massive number, nearly 9 in 10, losing sleep regularly over their finances. The church, alongside CAP, meets people in all their poverty, material, social, spiritual, and personal. The second encounter is from the Gospel of Mark 7, 24 to 30. The Syrophoenician woman. Again, I'll just read a couple of verses. From there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden. But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast a demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." And he said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. In almost every way, this encounter shouldn't have happened. As a devout rabbi, Jesus shouldn't have been there on foreign soil and certainly not talking to this Gentile woman. The whole encounter would have been seen as unclean by his fellow Jews because she was a Gentile. And yet, there he was, face to face, engaging in deep conversation with this woman and learning about her daughter who had been possessed with an unclean spirit. Jesus asks her this rhetorical question about dogs and bread. He was basically saying, "If I help you, you know what they'll say, don't you?" But the woman's response is legendary. "Even the dogs under the table get to eat the crumbs." She was willing to receive whatever Jesus was offering. And Jesus, for his part, used love to overcome every taboo, every barrier of race, reputation, religion, gender, geography, prejudice and tradition, just to talk to her. In this close encounter, Jesus shows that she is within God's grace, because no one is excluded. He again meets this woman where she is, and he releases her from the pain of the present and ushers her into hope for the future. That's a challenge to us, because if we're called to transformation in the Jesus way, this encounter tells us that everyone is in. God's transforming love and grace is here for everyone and for every situation, no matter how complicated, no matter how many barriers or taboos there might be. Jesus demonstrates that we must love our way through them all. We heard Paul's experience, very real experience, in that call. Aaron can give you dozens of stories. Aaron and Pete can give you dozens of stories about clients that she will see on a weekly basis. We know that people shut themselves off in their houses, very physically in some ways. They close the blinds, they close the curtains, they shut the world out. They don't want to engage. They have lost hope and see no way out. And yet we know with God there is hope. We're part of God's restoration plan. In the footsteps of Jesus, Irene, Pete and their team here, like so many across Northern Ireland and across the UK, serve and love those who find themselves worn down by debt and poverty, freeing them into their God-given potential for the future. They're basically doing what Jesus did, meeting people face to face and loving them, seeing them transformed. They're bringing hope. Yes, there is hope in terms of their finances, and that's what we do. But more than that, they're bringing God's hope for real transformation. Churches like yours are bringing an end to UK or to debt and poverty across the UK. And you know, and you're seeing, and Aaron and her team are seeing, there's nothing that poverty steals that God can't restore. We partnering with churches, or churches who partner with us, are working with people with complex challenges, maybe that make it hard to escape poverty. We see a lot more poor mental health. We see relationship breakdown, addiction, maybe experience of past abuse or disability. Those are just some of the issues. And again, Paul alluded to issues in the call of health and all sorts. So people are dealing with all this stuff, so many challenges that make it difficult. But yet our local cat workers approach every such person with care and compassion, determined there'll be no barriers to God's love being shown in practical, emotional and spiritual ways, no barriers to clients seeing an end to their debt and restoring their financial dignity. No barriers in the welcome, no barriers in the welcome that people will receive through the local church. And this takes us back to our reading from John 13. When Jesus began a community based on love and service, that moment when Jesus, having had his last meal with his friends, took a towel and a bowl of water, knelt down and washed their feet, a really, really intimate, close encounter. The disciples belonged to the body of Christ from that moment. But there is also the command to love and serve each other, to have the kind of ministry of service he had shown them. I just read it again from John. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. What a challenge. One of CAP's values, in fact probably our central value, is that we're Christ-centered. That means putting Jesus first, always. Jesus is our model and Jesus is our way. In all the close encounters that Jesus had with people, he not only preached the love of God or prayed about the love of God, he lived the love of God. In every close encounter, Jesus made real the unconditional, extravagant, sacrificial love of our God that releases us from the limitations of the past, the pain of the present, in order to release hope for the future. And this is our model too. That's why there are over 3,000 local cat workers, like Aaron and Pete, all around the UK, who minister in the Jesus way with their figurative towels and water. Maybe some of this work isn't glamorous, although maybe Aaron and Pete can speak to that. But it's full face-to-face encounters which can release people from the limitations of their past and give them hope for the future. Can I ask you this morning just to pray for those local cat workers? They're involved in encounters that can bring such incredible transformation for those living under the weight of debt and the darkness of debt. But praying for them, there is again a challenge to us. It's not just for them, it's for every follower of Jesus, for all of us who are part of his body. We're all called to be part of making that divine and transforming love known. This might be those face-to-face encounters with people we've yet to meet, or maybe people that we know. And in a lot of ways, it can be challenging or uncomfortable for us. But today, I want to invite you to be part of a movement of people that supports all that the church does to transform lives and put an end to UK poverty. At CAP, we do this by helping people, or working with the church side, to put people back into employment, equipping them with better ways to manage their finances, giving them skills to navigate life in a better way, and to help those in debt become debt-free. And every one of us in this room this morning can make a difference by taking action today. I've already mentioned prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer, as we know, changes things. And you can help see an end to UK poverty by signing up to receive CAP's free prayer diary or prayer emails, through which you can lift up to God the challenges we've talked about today. I would also ask you to pray very specifically for your local, your debt centre here in Antrim, and also our life skills course in Ballyclare, for Ari and Pete, Francis, and the money coaches across Antrim and further afield. You can volunteer. I know the church here does an awful lot, and with food bank and your cafe and stuff, but if you're not involved in those and you have time or capacity, please speak to someone about getting involved, whether it be with CAP or something else. Please do something. And then you can give if you can. So we are all the Church of Jesus Christ, the community of God's love, anointed by the Holy Spirit, as those really well-known verses in Isaiah say, to announce good news to poor people, to announce freedom for those who feel imprisoned, to give sight to those unable to see, and to open the ears of those who cannot hear, to set free those who are treated badly, and to announce the time when all God's people will be set free. We are all called and anointed to make God's love real. That is our purpose, and that is our privilege, to live and love as if the kingdom of God is already here, because it is. Thank you for your time this morning, folks. Can I just close in prayer, and then I think Pete is going to come up. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your love and sacrifice. Thank you for the transforming power of your love. And we just pray this morning that even through these faltering words that we would be challenged to walk in the example of love, compassion and service that you modelled for us. Help us to serve with humility and joy as we make known your love and salvation to all. Amen. Thank you.